Hello. Hi. Thank you, Joan, for that. Thank you very much. None of that's true. This series is great because of Joan. I just hang out here and drink beer, which I'm qualified to do. Thanks for you guys for coming out tonight. We had some really hot nights last season, and we weren't sure how it was going to feel in this space tonight, but the fans are on, the garage doors are closed, it's pretty comfortable, so thank you for being here. Joan and I really appreciate it. Thanks to Don, doing the sound, recording everything. Yes. If you've never been on the Hemingway's blog site, please check it out. It's like over 20 years of recordings or something like that. Well, I mean, I'm going to say it is. I don't care what you say, Joan. It's over 20 years. If Jimmy can say, oh, we've been here 50 years, whatever, I can say 20 years for that. So check them out. Excellent, excellent stuff on there. Thanks so, so much to Hop Farm for having us. Thanks to Eric, our server tonight. Tip him well. And so much thanks to Jen Ashburn for filling in tonight and hosting. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jen. Okay, I'm going to read some poems. I was never a missed connection. I worked in bookstores and libraries for many, many years around the public, and I was never a missed connection. And being a romantic at heart, that always disappointed me. I was, however, the subject of a lot of negative Yelp reviews, so it kind of balances out. So, which I think you can still read. Okay, I'm going to read a few poems. Bear with me. This is called Election Season. Oh, it's a Bloomfield poem. Sacred Heart of Jesus is closed, but on the other side of liberty, the boys at Baby Loves Tacos are stuffing burritos under blackout conditions. This obscene heat wraps lascivious legs around Bloomfield's frying bottom. Where the street bends, cold beer waits. Where the air is thickest is where our brains turn to pudding. Coagulated a red rust, this is not the color of justice, is what we expect. I feel God's thumb pushing down on our heads like dull tacks into this offended earth. They keep Narcan behind the bar so we don't have to watch anyone OD for too long, and for that we tip very well. The sallow-faced summer didn't choose to be a preamble to another election. It's something we burn into its already raw skin. It's our revenge on the season, our latest stab at burning the damn thing down. This one is called Pineapple Eddie. Pineapple Eddie is a restaurant up in Erie. Here again, I have run aground in the sand and squinting sun of Erie, PA. The lake is pretty good, I admit, if not great, and my feet steam and smoke as I cross to the water's weedy edge to scoop up one child or another. The reclining slab of ink and red meat on the blanket to our right has many harsh, incredulous words for the anti-gun crowd, and I worry how much more heat his exposed and sizzling brain can take. Settle down, man. Settle down. Watch the water and the light contorting across it, and the osprey circling, lazy as a stopped drain, while our children poke at dead fish and sand toads with short sticks. My son gathers broken snail shells while my daughter rolls in the surf, her smiling mouth burping out primordial muck. Later, at the restaurant, our children are stunned to find silverware wrapped in paper napkins. What is this? They exclaim. It's the very definition of fancy. My wife and I drink sweet beers and cool our bodies in the lapping AC. We try to love each other from opposite sides of this booth, our kids jumbled and jangling between us. We probably overpraise the meal, but for the moment, it really is wonderful to eat the fried chicken and plantains. The walls are down, and the swell of love speckled in rough sandy surface all over us, our toes and ears, wringing our sunburnt necks, way the hell up our asses. Each of us glad for it, glad for each other, momentarily safe from the rest of this cracked and rage-filled country here in Pineapple Eddy. Down the street here, a few blocks, is a bar called The Abbey. It used to be a lot of things. Currently, it's a bar. It is one of my preferred and conducive writing spots and has been for many, many years. A lot of the poems in the book that's coming out were written there and are about that spot. This is one of them. This is called Hymns and Hers, and Hymns is spelled H-Y-M-N-S. Hymns and Hers. That's how they mark the restroom doors here, Hymns and Hers. When I was a kid, this bar was a funeral home. Prior that, a foundry. Frank J. Boyle cut the marble here and delivered the headstones to the lithe grass of new plots in Allegheny Cemetery, not 50 steps from this door. Later, Boyle sold the land to Wayne Brass, who spit out metal castings intently as you would tobacco juice, and with the same shimmery pearl of pleasure, too. Brass paid no mind to the dead, simply shooed them away like neighborhood dogs. Werner Lutz had the place as I remember it, buying the mortuary cleanly off his brother-in-law. Lutz also owned Stephen Foster's old homestead on Penn Avenue. Made that a funeral home, too. The dead have always been good business. It would change hands again, shaking off the Reagan years as good funeral home and cremation service. A man called Beinhauer said the spot had some beautiful stained glass and some antique-type items that really kind of added to the overall decor. Eventually, the joint became what it is, just like the rest of us did. But all the fresh paint in the world and a good-looking bartender can't change the view from my stool. Acres and acres of the dead, waiting, waiting, waiting. This is called Almost 50. I'm 51 now. I came to drink my foul mood out of the shallows, into the deep where I hope to see it drown. I am drifting among glasses, as Seamus Heaney would have it. The women at the back table are talking Oppenheimer. They are belly deep in that brutal age, their cocktails cooling in the half-light. History is kind to no one. Here where the clock hands fall in reverse, Here is the sum total of my wisdom. Even Paul Westerberg got old. Even Alex Chilton died. The door swings open. The door swings shut. This is called I Used to Live for the Summers. Featuring 9 o'clock wines, also down the street. Go buy some wine down there sometime. I say to Celine, I just want my son to stop yelling at me all the time. She laughs at the joke that is not a joke, and I pay for the bottle of wine and leave. This fucking sun. 90-something degrees on Butler Street. Again. Jesus, what's with this traffic? It's barely 2 o'clock. Thursday. Where are they coming from? Where are they going? I need a drink. A drink and a good book and air conditioning. I need better prospects. I need a plan. I need my son to understand where I'm coming from when I say no one ever gets what they want all the time. I want him to understand this world means him harm. Wolves lurk everywhere. But fuck me, it is hot. This is not what July was like when I was a kid. It was long and languorous. It was hot, sure, but we'd line up at the spigot outside my grandmother's house, douse our steaming heads, and we'd get back to it, go running and shouting down the alley, spy on the neighbors who never pulled the shades and walked around naked. We'd lose pop-ups in the old maple, leap from swings into the ether, trusting we'd fly up, 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 always up. We'd crash into the hard-packed earth, laughing and bleeding. We grew up kind of shitty, but it was good. I love my son. Even when he shouts in my face, shrieking that I am wrong all the time. I used to live for the summers. Not so much now. I tell strangers that my daughter will be the death of me. But my son, my beautiful, big-hearted, gorgeously cruel son, my son, I say, my son, he breaks my heart. This is called Parenthood. My son does something, and I start yelling. My daughter won't sit still, and I completely lose my shit. I am unrecognizable to myself. My parents did what they did, and I love them. Forgiveness is something else. I'm ashamed of my behavior more often than I'd like. I fail, and I fail again. I never get any of it right. The constant refrain of parenthood. I'm sorry. I love you. Forgive me. Okay. Here's a poem for Bob Paycheck. Call it Poem for Bob Paycheck. The O's are up, but the Yankees are the Yankees, so they can buy their way out of a loss and into the postseason. An Aussie on the radio is unequivocal. He's coming home. And here I am in this shiny new money pit on Butler Street, eating an overpriced cheeseburger when I get the news. Bobby, I didn't know your mother. I just knew the man she raised. The day is too hot for early May and much too sad. We were just talking last night, me and Anna, trying to catch up between us, which isn't easy with the two kids planting endless flags in our limited attentions. And there's Anna's job, too, and if I'm being honest, my own not-there-ness, which is becoming a problem. We got into another fight this morning when she mentioned a free concert in the park, and I was noncommittal. My brain somewhere else working out all the things I needed to do today in the meager time I had to do them, and thinking about the weekend was simply beyond me. Last night, Anna wanted to know how you were doing. We'd been talking about Bart when she asked about you. I said I thought you were better. Your mom, at least, was back home from the hospital, and things were better. Now I know I was wrong. Wrong as a swing on a leadoff pitch, wrong the way Randy Rhodes wound up. Baseball and rock and roll, Bobby, they keep involving themselves in this poem. When today should only be about your heart, that big bruised thing that is constantly breaking chairs and amazing all of us. Oh, Bobby, 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 what is wrong with this world? Why are we cursed to outlive the ones who know and love us best? Nothing makes it easier. Nothing makes it better. The O's are doing their best, but it's too early to say how any of it will go. I guess you could say that about us too. These old songs keep playing, Bobby. They all say, I love you. Goodbye, goodbye. Here's a poem for Joan. This is called Giulietta Messina, who's an actress in a lot of Fellini movies. Hey, Joan, word just came an old friend won the Pulitzer for his poems. This is true. Which I hate to admit, I haven't read yet. Funny how that yet implies something that just between you and me probably won't happen. Another friend is on her way to Gaza. My wife says it's as part of some German-backed medical mission. Margaret, always trying to save everybody. Here I am, safe and anonymous, in an empty bar waiting on the bus. Later, I'll say something wholly inadequate to Bobby. Scott wants to know what we should wear. A tie, I think, I say. Joan, I've been trying to get home all afternoon, but the bus won't have it. Sit there, it tells me. Don't move. And so here I sit. And since I'm thinking of you, I'm also thinking about your Fellini poems. Really, it's Giulietta Messina on my mind. Pope Francis said something about her gaze, how she knows how to capture in winter what is already spring. Oh, Joan, how the road goes. In your poem, you describe Messina as clown-faced light in the face of darkness. No offense to the Pope, but I think you hit closer to the truth. Fellini called her lo spipoio, small, tender thing. Yes, that's it exactly. That is what all of us need right now, a small tenderness. Bobby, maybe most of all. Just a couple more. This is for one of my friends and one of my favorite local poets, Bart Sularchek. It's called Poem for Bart Sularchek. First, there is the sun. Then there is no light at all. There's the first beer, then another, then it's, where the hell am I? First there is someone you love, then it's just you alone again. John Ashbery asked, where shall we meet up afterward? Bart, wherever it is, I hope everyone we ever loved gets the ticket, and they're too happy drunk to care how time and again we fucked it all up. They just want to push open the doors, Bart, and light the way home. Okay. Two more. Have you ever been in a place where you've just been like so single-minded and so like distracted by your own shit that you don't know what's going on around you until you suddenly do? That's what this poem's about. This is called Trying to Read Larry Levis at Drag Brunch, September 28th, 2024. It's possible I have made a mistake. Usually quiet with a nice view of the cemetery here in the early Saturday afternoon drizzle, the DJ is pumping Chapel Roan's Pink Pony Club, and the bachelorette party to my left is practically ablaze. All of them ready to jump up on the unsteady high tops and demonstrate every benefit that comes with the absence of shitty men. The queen with milky coffee skin glows in gold sequins with her boosted decolletage to her pretty sparkling toes. She's making it hard to consider the plight of migrant farm workers in 1960s California. But surely, Cesar Chavez could get with this. I page around, landing on Larry's Billie Holiday poem. Glancing at another queen's tight gown, I say to no one, yes, here is the late style of fire. Here is the burning and the beauty of the thing engulfed. Later, I will not lack for poetry, and my wife and I will scorch the sheets. Thanks again for listening. Up here is a sign-up sheet for the open mic. If you're so inclined, please join us. This is the last poem. This is the title poem, The Vesper Room. It's like 1,000 people have just left the room. That's what Pete Hamill said when Sinatra died. When they found Jude's body, I didn't say much of anything. I was too hurt, too angry. I remember you said about your father, when it was clear there would be no stopping the inevitable, you asked, why not order the good whiskey for once? He smiled at you and said, why change me now? Mary Oliver wrote, oh, to love what is lovely and will not last. Tonight, I am remembering everyone. This raised glass of the good stuff overflows with forgiveness. Enough, maybe for us all. Thanks a lot.